each one. Just shake hands, whoever's beside you, and say, the Lord bless you. Praise God. God bless you, brother. Amen. We're going to turn to Matthew's Gospel, and while we're turning to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 20, we have no service Wednesday night, but we have special services next weekend with a brother, Andrew Beecham. Saturday night, 8 o'clock, and then the normal two services on the Sunday. So remember, our services next weekend, no Wednesday night, but Saturday night, 8 o'clock, and still to be confirmed for the hall. Isn't that right, brother? I'll send out a message during the week, whether it's this hall or Tully Leash, Orange Hall, but the Lord willing, we'll have a hall for the Saturday night. And the Lord bless each one. Praise God. Let's read verse 30 of Matthew 20. And this is about the two blind men. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I should do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them, and he touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Let us bow our heads again for the word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this great privilege that we can come into this house and sing the songs of Zion and worship your name. And Father, we thank you most of all that the tomb is empty and you are truly risen. Risen indeed. And Lord, till as many as receive you, to them give you the power to become the sons of God, even till as many as believe upon your name. Father, we believe upon your name tonight. And we ask for the Holy Spirit to come in our midst and to help us with your word tonight. And Lord, I take by faith the promised Holy Spirit, and I thank you, undertake for me. In Jesus' precious name, I bless your people and bind every work of the devil, and have thy way, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Here really is a sorrowful picture in this reading tonight of two blind men. This is a very sorrowful picture. And the first thing we see about it is they were poor. They weren't just two blind men, but the Bible says they were two poor blind men. So the first thing we say that these men, they were poor, they sat by the wayside begging. So these men, everything was against them. They couldn't see, and not only could they not see, but they were poor. That's an awful condition. Having no sight, and then on top of that, being poor as well, they were begging. So they must have been beggars. They were men who had no really promise to live on, no prospect to cheer them. There was nothing really worth living for what these men had going for them. There's nothing really much going for them. And you know, such were all of us at one stage in life, whether we want to admit it or not. But we were all like that at one stage in life, having no promise, without hope in this world, and without Christ, we were poor sinners. And Ephesians 2 and verse 12 says, and you keep your finger in Matthew, because I'm going to refer to it a lot, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealths of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in this world. And we were like these men in a way. We maybe have spiritual, we have natural eyesight, but our spiritual eyesight was blinded when we were away from God, away from the things of God. We were in a condition, for we were without Christ. And to be in a condition without Christ is to be in a condition of death. Death without Christ. Alien.
So we see this first condition, poor condition, and this other condition, second one's blind. And without Christ, it's poor because you've no wealth for your soul. Your soul's lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how good we are, what we can do in this life, what we can achieve in this life, without the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we're lost. We're poor men and poor women. Also blind, have no eyes even to look upon the passing Savior. That's at some sight, isn't it? A picture of men and women without spiritual vision, walking in darkness, having no light. That's a picture of men that haven't Christ, that have no light. The Bible talks about the glorious light of the gospel. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And this condition here is blindness. Revelation 3:17 describes the age we're living in perfectly. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and of need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. And many today think they're not blind, but the Bible says they're blind. And men and women today without Christ as a Savior are poor, and they're blind, and they're naked. And I'm just using these two men for an example. Here's another thought about these two men. They were helpless. So we see the poor man, we see the blind man, and I'm not going to preach a long sermon tonight, don't be worrying, but these men were helpless. Helpless. Absolutely helpless. Although there was two of them, the one couldn't help the other. The one blind man could not give sight to the other blind man. The one blind man could not make the other man rich. They could not help each other. They needed someone to help them. And we cannot help short of the glory of God. We need God's help. And God's help is God's provided way. And God's provided way is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. And God's provided help for us. And that help is in His lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to see tonight that I couldn't help you and you couldn't help me. There was two of these men, but they were unable to help each other because they were both blind and they're both poor. And no man can save another man, because every man's a sinner by nature and a sinner by birth. All are alike, guilty and impotent before the Lord. Help must come from above. And that's the only place our help can come. Our help can come from above. But here also in this text tonight from Matthew 20 is a passing opportunity. These men, something wonderful has happened. There is a passing opportunity has come their way. Though they're blind, though they're poor, though they can't help each other, there's something passing their way, which is an opportunity for help. An opportunity to change the situation. An opportunity to fix what's wrong. It's passing their way. A perfect opportunity. Jesus passed by, and in the coming year the Son of God is man's only chance to be delivered from the power of darkness. And these men embraced their opportunity for putting themselves in the way. They put themselves in the way. They heard Jesus coming. They knew He was coming. They put themselves in the way, and they didn't sit quiet and they didn't sit silent, but they cried out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." They cried to the Lord. So though they were beggars, though they were blind, though they were in this situation, they knew there was an opportunity that was passing them, and they reached for it with everything they had, and they cried to the Lord. And I tell you, when the Lord's passing by, we need to reach for Him and cry out to Him. His ear is open to our cry. We need to cry unto the Lord. Praise God. Flee not from Him by preferring darkness, but cry unto the Lord. Hosea 7 verse 13 says, "Woe unto them, for they have fled from me." And many have fled from the Lord instead of fleeing to the Lord. "Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me." Many have transgressed against the Lord. Many don't want the Lord.
These men, I'm sure they'd heard about Jesus. And many people today have heard about the Lord Jesus. But we don't just need to hear, we need to do something. We need to hear, we need to recognize, and we need to go into action. And these men were not going to miss this passing opportunity. They didn't know this would happen again, but when it was happening, they reached for it with everything they had. They couldn't see him. They could maybe hear him. They could hear the crowd. They knew it was coming, and when they heard it, they began to cry out, and the crowd, and they get the leader. They wanted to cry out, and they said, "Keep quiet." But they were never going to keep these men quiet. They were desperate. Desperate. And when somebody's desperate, you'll not keep them quiet. You can't stop them. They'll cry out to the Lord. Here also you see this earnest prayer and her text as well. They cried out saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord." These men were earnest about it. Though they were blind, though they were poor, they weren't going to miss this opportunity. They were earnest in their prayer. They were sincere. They weren't praying to hit the ceiling, as they say. They were praying to touch God.
Amen.
Crying out to the Lord. The Bible says, call unto the Lord. And one of the translations translates it as, cry unto the Lord. Cry unto the Lord. And the Lord will hear your voice. And these men cried unto the Lord. I want you to see also their boldness. They were bold. A lot of people didn't want them crying, but they were very bold.
Yes,
it's good that they were bold. If they had been timid or backward, they never would have cried loud enough. They had to raise their voice. They had to make enough noise over the crowd, over the multitude, that the Lord would hear them. And the Lord did hear them because they cried unto the Lord. They were bold. They cried out. They weren't worried. He heard their voices. You see, you have to get to the stage where you're not worried what your neighbor thinks, or what your friends think, or what your family thinks. But you have to come to the stage where you're desperate enough to know you're poor, you're blind, you're naked without Christ. And you have to come to the stage where you cry out to the Lord in all sincerity. And you don't care who hears you. You're sincere about it. You're bold about it. And you take that step and you cry out to the Lord. And He'll meet you at the point of your need. These were poor men crying out in the depths of desire. And they were conscious of their need. Very conscious. You see, people today sometimes are not conscious that they are lost. They don't realize they're lost. And a person can never be found until they realize they're absolutely lost without the Savior. Lost without the Lord. These men weren't deceived about it. They knew. They were blind.
Yes.
They knew it. They knew they were blind. They knew they had a need. But they knew there was someone on the way that was passing that could do something about it, and they weren't going to miss this opportunity. Also, here's another thing: they had faith. They had faith when they cried out. They were crying out believing. And the Bible says in Romans that it shall come to pass in the last days, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Faith reaches God. When you cry out in faith, for by grace through faith do you see it. And these men had faith to believe. They cried out saying, "Lord." They acknowledged Him as Messiah and Master. And the Bible says in Romans 10 and 9, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. We have to acknowledge it. These men in faith acknowledged Him as the Messiah, as the Master. We must believe in Him and acknowledge Him as our Lord and Savior, and one who is able to heal us and deliver us.
Yes.
These men acknowledged Him. They had faith. Also, they not only just faith, but they had a petition. They had a petition. And their petition was, "Have mercy on us." That's not a big statement. It's not a long sentence. It's just a few words. And you don't need to pray a long prayer for God to hear you. God will hear a very short prayer if you're sincere.
Amen.
"Have mercy upon us," was their petition. Short, isn't it? But it was enough to stop the Savior.
Amen.
Because we read in our text, the Lord stood still. The Lord was stopped. And it's one thing for Jesus to pass. And they're crying out to them. This petition. Have mercy on us. They confessed their helplessness. On their knees by begging for mercy. They begged for mercy. A self-righteous prayer would never have worked. Look at Luke. Now keep your finger in Mark. But Luke 18 verse 10. I quoted it this morning. These two different prayers. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week against tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not even lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down till his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. These men knew they could not help each other. They needed the Lord. They didn't cry out to God and say, Lord, will you do it because of our pitiful condition? They acknowledged him as Messiah.
Amen.
As God's in flesh, the Messiah. The one that was come to save. The one that was come to heal. They acknowledged him. And the Lord heard them. They also used wisdom in this. When they heard, they cried. And when you know the presence of the Lord is near, that's when you need to cry. You need to cry to the Lord when you get the opportunity. Don't miss the opportunity. Take your opportunity. Don't miss it. And cry to the Lord. They had wisdom because they cried when they heard. They didn't wait for a convenient season. Because we know faith cometh by hearing, and when you hear the word of God, that's the time to cry out. Romans 10 verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Isaiah 55 verse 3 says this. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Incline your ear and come unto me. In other words, when you hear the word of God, heed to it. Incline your ear to it. Believe it and act upon it. Don't put it off. Don't put off today for tomorrow. For tomorrow might never come. I remember, I guess it's about 3 years ago, when I come back from Australia, and I rang a wee man. I was very friendly with him. And I was meant to go and see him on the Friday night, but you know the problem I had. When I come back at 8 o'clock, I was falling asleep every night when I come home. Jet lag. And I said to myself, you know, if I go to see this wee man at 8 o'clock on Friday night, I'll fall asleep on him. So I put it off and I didn't go. He was found hung on the Sunday. He committed suicide. And he hung himself on the Sunday. I never got to see him again. I know it's a terrible thing, but I tell you, many people have plans in life of what they'll do tomorrow, what they'll do next week, but we only can do it the Lord willing. For the Lord holds the very breath we breathe. And these men knew that the Savior was coming, and they took their opportunity there and then. They weren't going to wait for the next revival, as it were. They weren't going to wait for the next meetings. But they knew this is a golden opportunity. Here's Jesus. Now's our chance. And they weren't going to whisper. They knew if they would cry out, I believe they cried with all the voice. Cried out to the Lord. And the Lord heard them. And here, look at this rebuke and cry. The multitude rebuked them. Anxious and inquiring sinners are often rebuked by a multitude of false leaders. You know that. And false feelings. But perhaps a great obstacle lies in the multitude of innocent disciples. Those who outwardly follow Christ but have no sympathy with him and the great work of saving sinners. And there's many Christians today, the outwardly are followers of the Lord, but they have no love for a sinner. Needed a Savior. It's very doubtful if they're really saved.
And we must remember that all of us once walked in darkness, led by the prince of the power of the air. But God in his mercy saved us. He reached down and gripped us and saved us. And we should have compassion on others. For the Lord had compassion on these two men. Oh, I tell you, this is so true. But who, no sympathy with him in the great work of saving sinners? Do we with hindrances that arise through the failings of some professing Christians? What these blind men did with a rebuking multitude, cry the more. When others don't have it, we that are genuine need to cry out the more.
Amen.
We shouldn't stop because others have lost the vision. We shouldn't stop because others don't want to do it. We should cry out the more.
That's what these two men did. They weren't going to be closed up. They weren't going to be silenced. They were going to cry the more. Going to cry out to the Lord. I want you to see this. I'm closing on this. I told you I wouldn't preach long tonight. A willing Savior. I want you to see this. I'm closing on this thought. He willeth not the death of any, this Savior. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord wants to save all. The Lord wants to save the wee man in the corner. The Lord wants to save the wee girl down the street here. He wants to save the old man and the old woman. The Lord wants to save all. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord wants to see it. He doesn't want any to perish. But men need to take opportunity and call upon the Lord. These men heard the Savior, they responded, they cried out. Can you picture me just for a moment, and I'm closing shortly. Can you imagine, brother, if you were there, the multitude's there and they said, keep them palace quiet. They're disturbing our meeting. Crying out to God, making a noise. But you see, they weren't as desperate as these men were. They weren't blind physically. But these men knew they'd no sight. These men knew they were beggars. They knew they needed help. I'm sure they'd heard the testimonies. I'm sure they'd heard the reports. Because remember, this is chapter 20 we've read from. They would have heard of the multitude fed with the boys' lunch. They would have heard how Jesus touched the coffin and the dead girl rose from the dead. They would have heard how he was able to walk upon the water. They would have heard how he healed blind Bartimaeus. They would have heard how he cleansed the 10 lepers. They would have heard the news of Jesus, because the Bible says in a few verses before, great multitudes followed him. They would have heard about it. And they knew he was coming their way. And they knew if we cry enough and stop him, it'll stop him. And I tell you, you need to cry to the Lord. And you need to stop him to meet your need. The Bible says if you cry unto the Lord, he'll hear you. And he'll answer you. And he'll deliver you. They that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. People say we're living in the last days. Aren't you glad of the book of Joel then and the book of Romans 10 and 9? For that, both of them books and the book of Acts says the same thing. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I tell you, never stop a man from crying unto the Lord. Never stop a woman from crying unto the Lord. They stopped the master. And when they stopped the master, he healed them. He healed them. And I tell you, when you cry unto the Lord and you stop him, he'll deliver you. And he'll set you free. And you'll never be the same again. I thank God tonight for salvation. There's nothing as important as salvation. Nothing. Healing is not as important as salvation. I thank God for healing. But you could be healed today and fall sick tomorrow. But once you're really saved, you're saved for all time and eternity. Let's come and bow our heads tonight. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you tonight for thy precious word. Lord, we know that you're the same yesterday, today and forever. And Father, just as these men cried out and you heard them, if we cry out tonight, you will hear us and answer us in that right speedily. Father, I pray that you'll grant deciding grace. I ask that the Holy Spirit will do His great work that only He can do. That you'll convict of sin and unrighteousness and draw men and women unto thyself. Lord, maybe someone that would listen in by way of the internet or way of tape. May the Holy Spirit move them and save them. For we know you're coming again. Father, bless your word tonight. As the song leader comes, bless us. Bless us as we come to the close. We commit these things to you and to your keeping. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Let Brother Gary come.
Let us stand on our feet and sing. I will sing.